The opinions expressed on the Fanalyze podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fanalyze podcast. It may seem hard to believe, but we've officially reached the halfway point of our podcast season. This is episode 3 of 6, but we have lots more to come. We're in a very busy month for sports news between the NHL trade deadline, NFL free agency, and of course, March Madness. But luckily, we've got you covered for all of the above. Without further ado, let's head to the play call. So in this week's play call segment, we're going to quickly go over one of the biggest trades that happened in the past week in the NHL, which was the Seth Jones trade, where the Florida Panthers acquired Seth Jones in a 2026 fourth round pick from the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for goaltender Spencer Knight, a 2026 conditional first round pick, with the Blackhawks also retaining 25% of Seth Jones' salary.
First thoughts on the trade. I don't want to declare losers and winners right off the bat, but I will. I think Chicago definitely got the better end of the deal. Seth Jones, you know, if this trade was made a few years ago, I think you can make a case that Florida is winning this trade. But, you know, Seth Jones isn't what he once was. You know, people used to say that he's going to win a Norris at some point in his career. He's not even a top pairing defenseman in my mind. Like the 27 points in 42 games played, not terrible, but nothing that pops out. And then, you know, you just go to the fact that Spencer Knight, I'm not saying like this whole trade is based on one performance, but in his debut with Chicago, he really popped off. He faced 43 shots, only one goal against, for a .974 save percentage. And I think Chicago, you know, you're getting a good young goaltender who's had experience in the league. He's been in the playoffs, even not many games, but he did play well. He was 1-1 with a .933 save percentage. So Spencer Knight is a goalie that you can really build your team around. Hopefully a change of scenery. Maybe he gets a chance at the starting job, and we can really see why he was drafted in the first round.
Yeah, and I would think he will eventually win the starting job if he hasn't already in Chicago. At $4.5 million per year, he's in year 2 of 3. He'll need an extension, but he at least has next season with the team. And as you mentioned, obviously being a first-round pick goaltender, he's not leaving because he was a bust. He's leaving because Florida are not in the position to move to a younger goaltender, and they haven't had to. So I think Chicago, you're right, really do get a bright future with a great goaltender that they will be able to use long into their future. And Seth Jones, his contract is just too much for the direction Chicago are going in. He is eligible for buyout at this point with Florida, because you have to wonder if they're going to contend for a cup this year and possibly win it, then that would be back-to-back. And who more than the Florida Panthers would want to top the Tampa Bay Lightning's back-to-back with a three-peat than the Florida Panthers? And they're going to have to retain some guys, and they're going to have to move around some money. They're going to have to bring in some pieces. So 9.5 for Seth Jones isn't necessarily the most practical contract for Florida long-term, unless they reapproach their, I guess, the structure of their team. But I agree with you completely. A career save percentage of .907 for Spencer Knight, I think he has tremendous upside. And I'm really excited to see him get a starting role in Chicago and hopefully flourish.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think Chicago really needs this rebuild for their team. They're like recruiting their like young players to try to rebuild their team. And Knight made such a valuable debut, and I can't wait to see what he'll bring to the team.
Yeah, and just to add on, like, completely agree. Young goalie, like you said, .907. Same percentage this season. He's playing very well. I mean, it just looks like a great time for a rebuild for the Blackhawks, and that's what they're doing. So.
And I also just like want to mention, like the Florida aspect of the trade, there was a question mark. Like, okay, now who's your backup? It was answered. They did go and trade, for Vitek Vanacek.
Yeah.
So. It makes the trade you know, less of a head scratcher for me on Florida's end because they were able to go and get a guy who is and can be a real solid backup. But also, who knows, like the first round pick, you know, nothing to just like ignore. Who knows? Florida could be in a position in 2026 when this pick is that, oh, that could be maybe a top 10 pick. Like, I'm not saying it will happen, but like there, it's always possible. So I think Chicago getting that first round pick is also just an added bonus.
Yeah, and I think the Florida Panthers are obviously hoping not to regress like that. But especially for the situation they're in, Seth Jones will help them in their quest for the Stanley Cup this year. 100%. And that's obviously the reason they made the trade. They're in that competing phase where they're buyers at the deadline, and I think it's obviously a great pickup for the Florida Panthers. So moving on to our second part of this segment, we're going to talk about Alex Ovechkin and the great chase. He's obviously hunting down Wayne Gretzky's goal record, Gretzky's record being set at 894 goals. He's got just a little ways to go now. What are our thoughts on Gretzky's legacy, Ovechkin's legacy, if and when, I think it's a when at this point, he breaks that record?
You know, as a Canadian, I am a little sad that, you know, Wayne Gretzky, who is like that Canadian guy, good old hockey player, is losing this record. And I am saying losing this record because it's going to happen. It's not deniable. And I just think it is really cool to see, though, if you really think about it. It's amazing, right? We're witnessing something that people thought would never happen. It's crazy to think that, like, the lowest goal total of Ovechkin's career was 24, and that's because he only played 42 games that season. So that's around, like, a 46-goal pace. So if he didn't get injured, this record's already broken. So it's just crazy to think about.
So I think for Ovechkin, this is putting him, if he isn't already, not just in the upper echelon, but at the very top of NHL goal scorers all time. I think obviously you need the record to undeniably make that claim. But if you look at Rocket Richard trophies and scoring titles, Richard himself won 5 scoring titles. Gretzky tied it. Ovechkin has 9 in his entire career.
Unbelievable.
That's 9 years where he led the league in scoring. And he's still not slowing down with the goal scoring. He's not competing for that trophy necessarily anymore because there are some younger players with some great goal scoring talent like Austin Matthews, who's already won 3, but Ovechkin's goal scoring ability is still ever present.
Yeah. And to just to focus on that longevity of his career, he's the second most consecutive 20 goal seasons in NHL history. And it's only behind Mr. Hockey himself, Gordie Howe. And like Gordie Howe, that, like, if you're in a conversation with Gordie Howe or if you're in a conversation with Wayne Gretzky, that's just generational talent right there. He's unbelievable, and it's just a privilege that I've been able to watch the greatest goal scorer of all time play some hockey.
Yeah, and just to throw out a couple more stats before we conclude, Ovechkin is very likely to break this record in less games than it took Wayne Gretzky to reach his goal total of 894. On top of that, for Wayne Gretzky, you can't feel too bad. Even as a Canadian hockey fan, Gretzky will still always be well above Ovechkin in point totals.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily changing anyone's opinion on him being the greatest hockey player of all time. Gretzky will definitely finish with a higher plus minus. Again, many more points, many, many more assists.
Mm-hmm.
So Gretzky's game is definitely more well-rounded, I guess you could say. But it's definitely a proud moment for Russian hockey fans and for Alex Ovechkin himself, because this is, as you said, a record nobody thought could be broken, and he's going to do it convincingly. And it's not like he's going to retire at the end of this season.
Yeah, he's got more years left.
Is it a possibility? You know, those are the kind of things that will be addressed after the season. Also, Ovechkin could very well win a Stanley Cup with the Capitals this year, I don't think a lot of people saw coming in terms of the Capitals being competitors, but what a way for Ovechkin to wind down his career or possibly go out by breaking the scoring title and then winning a Stanley Cup.
Could you imagine? That would actually be crazy. That would be one of the greatest ways, if not the greatest way, to go out of any sport ever.
Okay, and now we're going to move into our final part of this episode before we head over to Miguel's quiz. We received someone asking about the NHL's Calder Trophy race. Obviously, the Calder Trophy being the NHL's Rookie of the Year. So obviously in the future, you are able to send in takes about whatever you'd like. But for this one, we're going to talk about the current Calder Trophy race and who we think will end up bringing home the piece of hardware.
All right. So at this point, I think it's mostly come down to a three-person race. You know, you obviously have Celebrini, Michkov, and Hudson. And of the three, I think Hudson is the most valuable. But who do I think is going to win it? I think Celebrini is going to end up winning it. 51 games played, 19 goals, 26 assists for 45 points. And that's on a terrible, terrible Sharks team. And the fact that he's doing this, he's leading his team like that at such a young age, even though they're an absolute dumpster fire of a team, in that kind of, you know, organization, it's just unbelievable what we're seeing from Celebrini. I do want to give an honorable mention to Dustin Wolf. I don't think he's going to win it, but in my heart, he is one of the better rookies out there. So 37 games played, he has 21 wins, 2 shutouts, 259 goals against average, and a .913 save percentage. And he started off the season sharing the net with Vladar, but he simply outplayed him, and he's now the Flames starting goaltender, and that's a big job, you know, especially as a rookie. Considering that, you know, the leading scorer on the Flames, Kadri and Huberto, are tied at 22 goals and 46 points. So nobody on their team is a point per game. You know, Calgary is tied for last in the league in goals for per game. So he's getting no goal support. He's just carrying his team on his back right now. And they're the only reason why the Flames are in a playoff spot. They're in a playoff spot while having the least goals per game is crazy. They shouldn't even be sniffing a playoff spot. But, you know, Dustin Wolf, he put them there. And yeah, they're 15th in the league in goals saved, above expected with 12.0. And that's above guys like Markstrom, Ullmark, and Bobrovsky, who are seasoned vets here. So amazing to see that from a young rookie goaltender.
Yeah, and to go back to Celebrini, this guy, very well anticipated when he's getting scouted. Played for Boston University, 32 goals, 32 assists in 38 games. I think this guy's going to be the winner of the Calder.
Yeah, I also think Celebrini is going to take the win. He's the first rookie with the most points this season. He was injured for 12 games, which puts him at playing less games than all his other rookies in this competition. But I don't think that's going to stop him. And if he continues to play at this level, he'll definitely be taking the win.
I think I'm going to be the first person to say that it's not going to be Celebrini, and you could say it's biased, but I'm taking Lane Hudson. I think Lane Hudson leads all rookies in a number of statistics. And when you look back at, I think possibly what we need to consider is how the Calder Trophy is decided, and that's by votes, and it's a cumulative point system. So if you look back over the past few years, you have to go back to 2022 when Moritz Seider was the last defenseman to win. Then you go back to Cale Makar and eventually all the way back to Aaron Ekblad. So I think it's definitely easier for forwards to win the award, especially based on pure scoring. But I think that's what makes Lane Hudson leading all rookies in scoring the most impressive. Now, as Christina mentioned, Celebrini does lead in points per game. He's played quite a number of less games than Lane Hudson, but Lane Hudson's impact cannot be understated. He's currently in the top 10 in points for all defensemen in the entire NHL. That's not just rookies. He's top 10 in that. He's also top 4 in assists for defensemen. And that's with a three-way tie at the top at the time of recording. And as I mentioned, he leads all rookies in points. In head-to-head games against Celebrini and the Sharks, the Habs are 2-0. Both players have 2 points. So in their head-to-head matchups, there's not much separating the two. But you never know. When it comes to voting, you can look at those games head-to-head and see who maybe has more of that clutch factor. Celebrini is the betting favorite. I think Hudson, it would be nice to see, as a Canadian hockey fan, to see a player on a Canadian team win the Calder Trophy, as Austin Matthews in 2017 was the last time a player won on a Canadian team. Otherwise, you have to go all the way back to 1996 and Daniel Alfredson. My last point that I'll try and hammer home here about Lane Hudson lost Caden Gooley as his line mate halfway through the season. He's adjusted and he's keeping pace. Hutson is third in points for the entire Montreal Canadiens team. And Celebrini's right at the top, if not number one for the San Jose Sharks. But that's where you have to see the difference. If Celebrini is the best player on the Sharks, and that's their record, what does that say about their team? You could argue me it says a lot more about team building and the players around him, sure. But the Montreal Canadiens were a top five draft pick again last year. They were not a good team. And Lane Hutson has come in his first season with the Montreal Canadiens as a starter, and he's been third in point production, and now Montreal are contending for a playoff spot. So what does Hutson's presence do for the Canadiens? It's propelled them towards the playoffs, whereas Celebrini has not been able to help the struggling Sharks in the same way.
Okay, yeah, I see your point, and everybody brings up good points, and everybody on this list is an incredible player. But, you know, I think, you know, Hutson, he's objectively on a better team. Like, just the players around him are much better. You look at the San Jose roster, that's an AHL team. Like, the tank is on, and it's pretty obvious. So I think in terms of team success, it's hard to pin it on one player like Lane Hutson. So I don't know if you could say that, like, Lane Hutson is the reason, like, is propelling the Habs towards a playoff spot. He is contributing a lot to that team, but to say like he's the one propelling to the playoffs is a bit of a stretch in my opinion. But I'm just curious, like nobody wanted to show Michkov any love for the Calder. I think like going into the season he was
possibly the favorite.
I think yeah, he was the betting favorite. And you know, he's playing for John Tortorella, who's not an easy coach to play for. That system is, you know, very defensive-minded, and he sort of frowns upon creativity. Like, every time Michkov tries to do the Michigan, he's sort of like, I don't like it. I don't like it. There's nothing I can do about it, but I don't like it. Yeah, again, all great players on the list, so.
Yeah, I think Michkov's just been a little bit streaky this season when it's mattered most. He's gone a number of games at a time where he hasn't even recorded a point, where I think Lane Hutson and Celebrini have both been more consistent. Okay, and now we're going to debut a new segment called Bleed or Bandwagon. We're going to run this segment over the final four episodes of our podcast season. The way it works is one of us will claim to be a diehard fan of a specific sport or a specific team. The rest of us have compiled questions to test their fandom, and we'll figure out if they are actually a diehard fan or just a bandwagon. So in our first episode, Miguel has volunteered to go, and he is claiming to be a diehard fan of the Toronto Raptors. Miguel, would you care to make a statement?
For sure. So I've been watching the Raptors since I was 9 years old, so that's about almost 10 years now. And one of my favorite moments is a birthday present that my dad gave me, and it was a Raptors jersey, a white Raptors jersey, and on the back, it just said Molina, which is my last name, with a number one, which is my favorite number. I just saw that. I was super enthusiastic about it. And after that, you know, we went to watch a game. It wasn't live. We didn't watch it live. We just watched it on the TV. And we had our family there. My friends were there. And I remember it was just an amazing time. So my fandom with the Raptors goes back since I was 9 years old. And ever since then, I've been a diehard fan.
So the rules of the game are there are five questions, each valued from 1 to 500 points, just like Jeopardy. Then there'll be a sixth question at the end where you can wager any amount of points you have to add, but also possibly subtract from your score. Miguel won't have the option of picking the different numbers in a random order. We'll go 1 through 5. They are supposed to increase in difficulty. So we'll hand it over to Josh to ask the first question.
All right. How you feeling, Miguel?
I'm nervous. I'm very nervous.
Good. That's where we want you to be. All right, so let's start off with our 100-point question. Who is the all-time points leader for the Toronto Raptors? Oh, quick response. Are you sure? Locking that in.
Yes, I'm sure. DeRozan's my guy.
The correct answer is DeMar DeRozan. Congratulations. You got one first question right here. All right. Moving on to the 200-point question. What year did the Raptors make their first playoff appearance?
2000.
Oh my days. If that was a shot in the dark, that was a crazy one.
It wasn't a shot in the dark.
No, you knew? Because that's the correct answer.
I knew.
That's the correct answer. 2 for 2 so far. All right. He's cooking here. Moving on. 300 points here. What are the full details of the trade that brought Kawhi to the Raptors?
Okay, I know this one. So the Raptors traded DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and one 2024 pick to the Spurs. Well, I don't know if it was 2024. Does it matter if I say 2024? They traded a first round pick.
I'll give you that. Yeah, okay.
Okay. To the Spurs for Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard.
Congratulations. You are 3 for 3.
Let's go.
You are three for three. Yeah, so that was a 2019 first round pick.
2019. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but everything was correct. All right. 400 points. Who was the first player to ever score a point in Raptors franchise history?
Okay, I think this is where I'm going to take my first L, but I don't know.
You don't have any clue? You don't want to toss that in?
Wait, I think I know this. Andre Bargnani?
That is incorrect.
No!
That is incorrect, unfortunately. No. But I like the confidence. The correct answer was Alvin Robertson.
Okay, never heard this guy, can't lie. My bad.
All right. Now, for 500 points, who was the Raptors' first general manager?
Can't say I know this one. Wait, first GM. What's his last? Okay.
I can't give you the last.
Head coach, I know, was Malone, but that's all I know about 1995. I'm going to have to go with Malone.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect. The correct answer is Isaiah Thomas.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I should have known that. Wow.
Isaiah Thomas was the first general manager in Raptors history. So now you've gone through, your first 5 questions. Here is the point where you get to wager your points. So you got the first 3 answers right, which gives you a total of 600 points. How confident are you in this next question? So how many points do you want to wager?
400.
400. Let's go. Okay, I like that. Other than Vince Carter's recently retired number 15, what is the only jersey number the Raptors have retired, and who wore it?
Only other number. Who's a Raptors legend? What is the number and the person? Okay, we're going back in the day. Probably, it could be. Oh, I don't know this. But it could be Damon Stoudemire. But I don't know his number.
Chris Bosh.
Can't be Chris Bosh. I don't know the number. 22 Damon Stoudemire.
Oh, my days. Guys. Yeah, that was incorrect. That was not even close.
No.
I think you're going to be a little mad when I tell you the answer.
It's going to be Chris Bosh.
It's a little cheeky. I'm not going to lie. So the answer was number 95 for Nelson Mandela.
What? Yo. Wait, Nelson Mandela player or Nelson Mandela political figure?
That's the one. Yeah.
What?
Political figure. Let me explain. So It was retired to commemorate his 1998 visit to Toronto. So the Raptors have yet to retire a jersey other than Vince Carter.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
Now we'll tease to episode 4 next week. We'll cover a new topic that we're calling the NHL Canada State of the Union. You'll have to stay tuned to next week to see what that entails. Bleeder Bandwagon will go for round 2, where Christina will be quizzed on her New Jersey Devils fandom. We also obviously have the possibility of you, the listener, sending in more takes, which we will incorporate into our show. And then, of course, we can cover March Madness, which is one of, if not the biggest sporting events in March, as well as NFL free agency, which kicks off soon. We'll see you next week.